Dave Moore on Today FM podcast.
The old animals in general.
The cough buttons don't work on this.
No, they don't.
And TB.
Who are you talking back to?
Wonder who you used to talk back to. Someone out there.
Well, yeah. I know when they do the last word, you have to hit that button.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, it works. I think in the middle studio. Yeah. I don't think it works here. Well, see, this is like
I'd love to have that job.
Costed presenters getting told things. Well, no one ever tells me anything.
But you wouldn't listen.
I have often had to say to you, "Hey, Dave, last dad," because you're on your phone or watching fail videos. So
yeah,
that's a bare
face
lie.
Fail videos quite a lot. Yeah, but you don't do it in a talk back in my ear.
No,
you just
no,
sit
no.
beside me and go, "Hey," and I go, "What?"
But it's really hard actually when you're doing it because you have to, like, Matt can't be talking because obviously you throw him. But like you might need to tell him something really quickly, and you're like, so you kind of have to be. Like, and like pick your mo-
what,
like
he doesn't catch it. He'll
look at you and then he'll know and he'll wind up. It's a whole system.
Wow.
Yeah, it's tricky. Yeah,
because you do often hear TV presenters talking about the producer talking in their ear, but that's happening while they're talking a lot, especially on news shows, like where they're just one presenter is talking for, unless they go to a report, they're just talking all the time. And you people going,
yeah. Do you ever watch, like, do you ever come across, like, during now it's popular, obviously, watching like CNN, and they're the best at rambling and filling time on those shows. As like now when the election happens, they'll just fill time as they wait for something to happen. But it's incredible, some of the guys on that, those presenters. What's the guy, the grey hair?
Anderson Cooper.
Yeah. Like, he'll just talk and talk away. And there has to be someone in his ear at some stage to say, okay, now you can go to John Birkenstein down in Florida or something. Or whatever. It's some skill.
Have you ever watched The Newsroom?
No.
So that's from, what's the guy who wrote The West Wing? The guy who created The West Wing created the show. I've never watched The West Wing, but The Newsroom is a show. Jeff Daniels,
yes,
is the star, and it's not the world's best TV show, but I binged all of it. And it's set in a network news, like a CNN kind of thing in New York, and it goes behind the scenes and all this sort of stuff. It's really, like, some of the episodes are great, and they're kind of standalone-y. There's like threads that run throughout, but I'd highly recommend.
Nobody will ever beat Alan Partridge, who had 15 seconds left to news, and it was a news that was going to happen on the hour. He couldn't go early. He couldn't go late. He told a story about how his brother-in-law had loaned him a listener told a story about how brother-in-law had loaned him a drill, but without the battery pack. He returned the drill and he didn't have the battery pack. But then he just went off the phone. There was 15 seconds to go and he went, I wonder who got the battery pack. News. It's the most incredible feeling ever.
So I like our signalling system that we have.
Basically, you guys give me the finger.
Yeah, more or less.
Signal.
But it's like playing charades.
Yes, that's true.
Because we're like, Dave, waving at me, Dave. And then we make gestures.
So today, Maria needed to gesture to me that I needed to mention an item of clothing. So I was chatting away and I looked down at my sheets and I look up and I look around and I look down, whatever. And at one point I looked up and Maria was like reefing the blazer off herself going, hoodie. I was like, oh yeah, the hoodie. Yeah. There's the universal kind of wrap it up, you know, where you kind of just circle
windy
your hands.
Yeah, you look like you're calling someone loco, yeah, like you used to in the 90s.
Come on, hurry up.
I do a lot of furiously handwritten notes.
Yes.
Shoved in front of people.
Which are often quite difficult to read, even though your handwriting is good. It's the furious nature of it. Yeah.
But sometimes you have to do that with if there's a guest in front and you're like, I want to remind Dave to ask that question that we said we were going to ask. So you have to write it down so that the guest can't see it.
It often is. And the worst is if there's a guest in studio and they're on another microphone, right? And then somebody to my left catches my eye and says something like, say there's a voice note in that the guest should hear. I have to remain talking to the guest while moving my microphone over here, getting to a mouse, saying, I'm still listening. I am still engaged, but now I'm going to turn away. I'm going to go into the file system, find the file, open it up. Yeah, did she? And then go, ready to go, put up the fader and go, there's a voice on it from Sheila there.
It's kind of like that Wayne's World scene. Oh, yeah.
I think the worst thing is, though, then you proceed again to watch fail videos in the middle of it while you get distracted.
I am listening, yes.
Tom Cruise, I think what you're saying about Mission Impossible 8 is clever. The guy fell off his, cracked into his arm. No. So Maria's just handed me a note. Get to the first bit of the podcast. Okay, the first bit of the podcast is...
I was going
to
say, you don't know.
I don't know.
It was looking at you there, like you've nothing written down.
No, I usually write things down. I don't need to write things down because I've got a great team around me who'll now give me hand signals to tell me what it is.
Obviously.
You're not allowed to say a word. You're not allowed to say a word. Charades, go. No, you can't mouth the words.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Emer's squeeing, so it must be Charlie from Busted.
That was good. I would have never guessed. I don't know how to start that game.
I've never seen Emer squee as much as she squeed. And Charlie, like you could have stayed. You could have engaged, but
no,
you just had to leave.
I was blushing at a Zoom video, which never usually happens. I had to leave the room. I couldn't look him directly in the eyes.
Well, anyway, Charlie from Busted and Harry from McFly came in. They played Music Master. We crowned a Music Master in the episode. It was absolutely amazing. But also, we got chatting all about the gigs, all about the tour, Busted versus McFly.
We're good, man.
Yeah, we're good.
You recovered from your Music Master stress? All the adrenaline come back down?
Yeah, yes. The adrenaline is starting to just seep out through the system. I'm feeling a bit more calm now.
What I've loved about this build-up to this show is the way you guys have kind of pitted yourselves against each other. I mean, look, we know the history of the two bands. We know you guys are friends. We know you guys, have been shared stages and possibly even shared bandmates before. But now what's lovely is how much crack you're getting out of, like, you know, you guys versus each other as opposed to Busted and McFly.
Yes. There's only so many times you can be like, are you Charlie from McFly? His daddy gets it as well.
Yeah, I get it the whole time. Oh, you're that guy from Busted. Or like people see us and they start singing Year 3000.
Yes.
And I'm like, totally. Yeah, no, but sometimes I don't know. I'm like, are people trying to do that to annoy us or are they genuinely?
I don't know if you remember, Harry, but I did interview you guys as McFly not that long ago. I think it was last year. And yeah. I was coming home in the car and I had listened to all my Busted stuff. I listened to all my McFly stuff. I'd done all my research. I had my brief. But on the way home, I said, oh, I listened to some Mac Busted on the way home just to kind of familiarize myself with that bit in case any questions come up. And as soon as I came on the Zoom screen with the four of you guys and I went, Busted, how are you? Oh, my God. No. It was so bad. Good.
Do you know what? That genuinely happens when people like just don't know. It's awkward, man.
It's funny, man.
But you know, I think the thing is, like you said, we are like we go way back. Like the two bands kind of intercut like throughout our careers in many ways that people aren't even aware of. And this is just a whole other element to that journey. And I think the Versus side of things adds another level of entertainment to this live show.
Yeah, and I think it also sort of brings back the identities, you know, that Busted and McFly are two separate bands, obviously. And it's just cool to be able to go out together and, you know, have a really fun time, but actually also, you know, be playing in our own bands and sort of, and make that a bit of a showdown, you know?
Yeah, and I'm sure you won't give away too much, but I'm going to ask the questions anyway because my audience would kill me if I didn't. So is it a Busted show and then a McFly show, or a McFly show and a Busted show, or is it Busted, McFly, three songs from you guys, two songs, like, how is it going to work?
I mean, to be honest, we have the overall arc of the show planned out, and like we saw some renders of the staging and everything else the other day, and it looks incredible. And it's gonna run. We can't give too much away in that regard because we feel like we want it to be a surprise. But it's not gonna run like a normal show.
Okay,
you know what I mean, it's gonna be more like an event that hasn't really been done before. And I think I can't think of any two bands that can really put on a show like this that have these sort of interwoven histories. But then, you know, because it's not a co-headline tour, it is very much a Versus tour. But yeah, all I can say is that it's something that you haven't seen before.
Wow, excellent. And then in terms of, like, look, people are just loving the fact that you guys are doing this together. Everyone's involved. There's all of you. There's no one missing from any of the lineups. That must be nice, Harry, to just have everybody involved.
Yeah, it's the first time.
Yeah, it's the first time, like, Charlie's back in the game. Obviously, McBusted was just Matt and James, and that was a collaboration. So, yeah, it's exciting. It kind of feels like the old days of 2003, 2004, and it's exciting and amazing that there's still a big audience for both bands. So, yeah.
I mean, we've been shocked, man. Like, we're already adding a bunch of shows just from how popular the pre-show's been. So, you know, we never, every time we put a tour on sale, you never quite know how it's going to go. Do you know what I mean? We certainly don't take it for granted that we're here 20 years later and still have people wanting to come and see us. We're very humbled by that.
Listen, if there are more dates coming the Irish direction, we'll be very, very happy about that.
Yeah.
Between you guys, when you're together, like I can tell by the kind of personality I'm getting between the two of you guys that it's fun, right? Like it's not just a case of, okay, this is a good commercial exercise for both of our holding companies. Like this is just like you guys are going to have so much crack on the road.
Yeah, man. Yeah. You know, me and Harry actually went to school together. So we've known each other longer right. than Fly and Busted have even been bands.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like Tom and James have known each other since they were like 11 or 12. They both played Oliver in the West End. Tom and Matt went to the same school. Me and Charlie went to the same school. Like there's so many weird coincidences. And but yeah, it is a lot of fun. Like, you know, there is, you know, a bit of a kind of healthy rivalry, but also we are putting the show on together. It's a lot of fun. Everyone gets on great. And I think, yeah, that's why it's even, I think that will come across in the show, you know?
Yeah. And no one with an ego ramp out into the crowd or a bigger dressing room or a larger tour bus or any of that stuff.
I think we might have separate tour buses, but then I'm sure I'll sneak onto their bus.
Yeah, there'll be a bit of pollination.
You can't do a number two on the tour bus. I'd like to go and do a number two.
You can't do a number two on your own tour bus.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, lads, we're so looking forward to having you guys come over. I'll tell you what you do, right? When you're coming over for the show in October, come into the studio. Let's do Music Master again. You can even bring your full bandmates. We'll do it against you. We'll see if anyone can beat Harry.
We'd love that. Honestly, we're so excited to be coming back to Ireland as well. McFly we were in Dublin recently, but to be in Belfast as well, it's very exciting. They're honestly incredible crowds for us. So we're very excited to be back.
Well, we're very excited to have you. Lads, thank you so much for taking the time and taking part in Music Master. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, man.
And we'll see you again next year. Take care.
Take care, mate.
What a pair of legends.
So dreamy.
Charlie Simpson from Busted, Harry Judd from McFly. And yeah, I was wearing my Fight Star hoodie because Charlie's other band is Fight Star, and I'm such a Fight Star fan. I don't think he was too freaked out.
No, I think he was fine. That's why I didn't come on, because if I'd come on, I would have totally.
You would have had a Busted
out.
T-shirt, a Fight Star hoodie, a Charlie Simpson Young Pilgrims sweatshirt. Yeah, I know.
He's just trying to play it cool in front of Harry, though, I think.
Oh, Charlie was.
Yeah, he was just like, oh yeah, it's my other band.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Yeah, you're Stan. We know. Gosh, it's okay. Like, there's loads of them.
My favorite bands ever. Like it's hard to say how much I love that band. And then
Fight Star.
Yeah.
Busted.
Not Busted. And look, I love Busted, but not Fight Star.
Are you Busted or McFly? I'm McFly.
I think I'm Busted. Yeah. I think I'm Busted.
I've been doing
Busted.
A lot of Busted.
Carl's definitely McFly.
You're McFly.
Yeah.
I think McFly.
Two all. Mm. Yeah, we should go, the four of us.
Oh my God, we should. That'd be the most fun.
Yeah.
Yes, we will go.
Okay, yeah.
That's it.
Date. I've already asked for tickets, but have a date, guys, so you can go as a trio.
Fine. Let's actually do that. That would be loads of fun.
It will be loads of fun. I'll definitely. And then I'll probably get backstage with Charlie because we're best friends.
Yeah, and then I'll just stand in the corner.
Or there'll be a poster on the wall saying, don't let this guy backstage.
Yeah. The guy with the Fight Star hoodie, keep him out. Okay, we need some charades to tell me what the next bit of the podcast is. Here goes my team. Oh, this is charades. Oh. Charades on a podcast. Amazing. Okay.
Did you get that?
That was pretty good.
Maria
acted out cracking an egg,
yes.
Putting it into a frying pan and flipping it.
Yeah.
So I gather it's about the cooking fails that we talked about and possibly focused immediately on the omelettes.
Oh, well done! You nailed that!
I'm a pro, lads.
So why were we talking about the cooking?
I'm the pro.
Yes, but actually, a bit of both. We're talking about the cooking fails because my wife, Tracy, as much as I love her to bits, oh my God, is one of the worst cooks that's ever lived.
Ooh.
No, honestly, she's... And she'll happily...
You've taken a spicier edge in the podcast version than the radio.
That, like, she will happily go along with this. Like,
I didn't say that live. No, she will.
It's... Look, she is responsible for dinner sometimes. But often the dinner has to be prepped, you know, put in dishes and ready to go in the oven. If in the oven, she can deal with it. If it's fresh pasta, no problem. In fact, any kind of pasta... No problem. However, she does cook dried pasta for about 25 minutes, which I just can't explain.
I would do that too.
How gloopy it is. It's just...
I would do that. Yeah.
No. Al dente all the way. Anyway, that's...
Oh, no.
Yes. That's what it's all about.
Yuck.
Anyway, she tried to cook rice. I had to run upstairs and do stuff and I wasn't around. I just said, just cook the rice. I said, look, twice as much water as the rice. Put it on, you'll be fine. I'm going, bye, bye, bye. Went upstairs, came back down, was like, what is that smell? Over to the cooker. And... She had basically just, every time the water boiled out of the rice and it was ready, she just kept adding more water and more water. So the rice grains swelled out to like, They were nearly the size of golf balls, and it was one big giant ball of starch. Oh,
an experiment. Yeah.
So bad. Anyway, nobody ate it, not even she ate it. And yeah, that just got us talking about all of the different food fails that people have, because there are some things that are just difficult. Like, for example, as good as I think I am as a home cook.
And you think you're good.
I do think I'm very good.
Yeah.
I can't get an omelette right. However, you guys gave me some tips. We learned things that I didn't know before that I'm definitely going to try next time I make an omelette. Right, omelettes. I was saying they're probably one of the things that trip me up the most, but the tips coming in on 087-4100-102, very clever ones, Maria. Listen to this. Annette says we're both doing it wrong.
They're both doing it wrong with the omelettes. You just cook it in the pan, and when it's nearly cooked, don't flip it, don't have it. Under the grill with a bit of cheese, it'll raise beautifully, then flip it. No runny egg, perfect omelette. You're welcome.
And Darren's got the same one.
I also used to struggle with cooking omelettes, and a little tip that I learned was when it's cooked through on the pan, on the bottom side, just stick it under the grill for a couple of minutes and cook the top side. No need to flip it over. Job done.
Right. And
cheers.
T is saying the same thing. Like, so this is a new
grill
method.
Effort.
Yeah,
the
well,
effort.
Cooking is effort.
That feels like you have to cook it twice.
But you're only cooking it for half, well, not half the time, but.
Because I can't cope with having to cook a lasagna. Because I feel like halfway to a lasagna is already a bolognese.
It so is. Even so a third like of the way to a lasagna cooked is already a bolognese.
It's like
absolutely.
Those triple cooked chips. You're like, oh, God, it's bad enough I have to cook them once.
Well, thanks everybody for the omelette tips. I'm definitely going to take that into my life now. Okay, so now my cooking is going to be elevated again. Mm. Like you see, it's by slagging off your wife, you get better at cooking. This is what I've taken out of this conversation.
That if that's what you
I mean,
want.
Other areas in your life will suffer, but okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll need to know how to cook because you'll be living on your own. Yeah. So.
How do you start a gas camper fire? Because I think I'll be at the back garden, I think, a lot, to be honest with you. Right, the final bit of the podcast now is going to be charaded by, I feel like Emer's giving me one, Maria's giving me another. Carl doesn't understand charades, so this is going
to
be fun.
No,
Carl.
I can't actually. I'm trying to think
don't
of
mind
what it is.
Oh, no, you weren't paying attention either then.
No, I was. We were literally just talking about it two minutes ago.
Oh, my God. And it,
one second.
Two.
I can't think of what
I'll
it is.
I'll give you a hint.
Great podcasters.
It involves you two.
Oh, was it the thing?
Yeah.
Did we say that?
No, we didn't say that.
No,
did
I don't think
that?
We said that, no.
Oh.
We did that on Monday.
Oh,
guys, meeting on air.
Right, honestly, this podcast is
I literally was just talking about it.
I think listeners really enjoyed the behind the scenes.
Okay. What we all need in this instance is a little help.
Charade it there? I haven't a clue.
We all need a little, like, as in, like, ABBA might refer to it as being like an SOS or something like that.
Oh, very good. I mean, you didn't charade anything. You just said the word.
Well, look at what I did. Well, I mean,
if
I charaded it, we'd be here till next year.
Yeah, true.
Oh, my God.
True.
Yeah, do you know what it is now?
You
know what it is, though.
That is the Morse code for f*** you.
Can we keep that in?
What is the Morse? There's a Morse code for
SOS. There is. It's short, 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 long, 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 short, short, short. You put in about eight of them.
Did I?
How many? Well,
this is meant to be a longer one.
Okay, so, or is it long, short? I don't know which it is. Long, short, long, short. Long, that's hard to say. Or short, long, short.
Long, 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 short, short. Long,
no,
long,
that's long, different. Short, but it would be like beep, 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 beep.
Okay.
Yes.
I was trying to think
never
to
use that.
Yeah. Right, yes. We talked about SOS by Rihanna because, oh my God, the second verse of this song is absolutely incredible. Lads, kicking off the show this morning with an incredible piece of music trivia. Not something I knew, but something I've just found out, which I think is amazing, right? Which is Rihanna's song, SOS. Amazing pop song.
I love that song.
Came out like a fair while back in 2006. But there was an interview done with a chap called Evan Kidd Bogart. And as a former songwriter and producer myself, Evan Kidd Bogart is like, has written so many big hits over the years.
Like, pop songs.
Pop songs, yeah. So he'd be one of those kind of, you know, he's done Sean Paul. He's done like loads of Billboard Hot 100, like loads of songs. Very, very successful songwriter. But he did an interview with a guy on a podcast called Daniel Wall. It was Behind the Walls podcast, it's called. And he revealed something about Rihanna's song SOS that I didn't know. Now, maybe you already knew that the whole song is kind of a sample of Soft Cell's Tainted Love.
No.
No, I didn't know that either.
That's Soft Cell, but if you think about the way the song starts, so, you know, if you think about Rihanna's version...
Yeah, I never put the two together.
Okay, so there you go. So it's a kind of an that word they use sometimes in songwriting circles, an interpolation. So it's not a cover version. They've just taken an element of the song and said, let's use that as the basis for a new song, as opposed to this is Rihanna's version of Soft Cell.
Do you have to get rights for that?
You do, absolutely, you okay. do, yeah. And it's usually quite easy. An interpolation will be much less difficult than a cover version, because the cover version, the publisher, the whoever owns the rights, has to go, do I want this artist, Rihanna, to do a cover of the song that I own?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes, of course you do.
Yes.
Most of the time you would say.
But if Cathal Minogue rang up, for example, maybe they'd say no.
Yeah, of course you would.
But an interpolation is definitely easier. But in this interview, he said the second verse of the song is entirely made up of 80s song titles. Now, I had never noticed this, right? But here he is explaining, for example, the beginning of the second verse.
The whole second verse of that song is 80s song titles strung together as sentences because I thought it would be super clever. Take on me, aha. Take on me. You know inside you feel it right. You know inside you feel it right. Take me on. Take
me on. I mean, lads.
My God.
So that's the beginning of the second verse, right? It continues.
I could just die up in your arms tonight.
That's the cutting crew.
That is cool.
So cool. Then he goes on for a bit of Tears for Fears, lads.
I melt with you. You got me head over heels.
So I melt with you.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's that song. But then there's this.
That's
Tears for Fears.
Oh, right.
Okay. Yeah.
Tears for Fears, unbelievable reference. Then Kim Wilde's in there.
Boy, you keep me hanging on the way you make me feel. Boy, you keep me hanging on the
way you make me feel. So, Kim Wilde.
Oh, my God.
And Michael Jackson. Like, come on, the entire
that
second
is
verse
cool.
is just made up of 80s song titles.
And, like, I suppose my age.
Yeah.
We were dancing to Rihanna SOS on the dance floor.
Yeah, I'm getting ready, I'd say.
I'm getting ready, absolutely. But wouldn't necessarily have known all of those songs, so wouldn't put it together.
Exactly, but I knew even all of those songs, and I have never put it together.
Even the Take On Me, aha.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, that's what it is. You wouldn't think of it. Isn't a more modern version of that would be Anne-Marie 2002. Because doesn't she say, oops, I got 99 problems singing bye, bye, bye.
Yeah.
Hold up, if you want to go and take a ride with me, better hit me
what?
Baby one more time.
You knew that, Carl.
Did
you know that?
I did know that.
It's 2002. The song's called 2002.
Chorus songs from 2002.
So if it was now and we were trying to write a song, it would be, what?
Espresso.
I can't think of, espresso.
Vampire
too
espresso,
hot to go.
Anyone?
You'll never listen to it in the same way again. And I'm glad that we all now know the full extent of the cleverness of the lyrics of Rihanna's SOS. This podcast is not clever, lads. No. You don't come here for cleverness. You come here for meetings on air, charades, clapping.
Minefields.
It's absolute minefields. Whatever. Yeah. Anyway, we're very glad you are here. Don't forget you can catch us on the radio 9 to 12, Monday to Friday on Today FM. Thank you for listening.
Good luck.
Bye.
Dave Moore on Today FM Podcast.